You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
Karen Rose is in the building. Karen. Check that microphone one more time. Check that microphone. Check. There we go.
We are back. We are back. Sorry, I was on mute on my side. Anyways, yes. Every single Friday, 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. So, Digital World this week, you already know we have some guests that pass through every single week. And our goal is to bring new ideas that are relevant within the digital space that you, the public, can take advantage of. And one of the questions that I've always been asked over the years is about learning how to package your knowledge, but also to be able to sell courses online. And not just sell courses online, but learning how to tap into Udemy. That's right, Udemy. If you have taken a course on Udemy, you know all about it. But if you don't, Udemy is a platform that is allowing people to create the courses, put it on the platform. Udemy does a good bit of marketing to push your courses and whatnot, but we're going to be getting into that a little bit later as we go along. But if you are somebody who is thinking about learning how to package your knowledge or package your skill sets and sell courses and learning how to leverage Udemy, then this is the conversation for you. So today we have Mr. Emil Akrabali coming in, and he is somebody who has been selling courses on the Udemy platform for many, many years. And the thing is, what I like about this conversation is that it's not that he is somebody who is packaging entertainment or something that, you know, what he has packaged is something that is very technical. And the thing, what I like about learning about people who are selling courses online is you will see people selling courses for so many different categories. I remember I use a platform called Thinkific where I sell my courses. And I remember I was looking in at a webinar. And in that webinar with Thinkific, they were talking about some of the courses that generate over six figures USD per year, but were courses that you would never think are actual courses. So they went and they found two of the weirdest courses. And I'm saying this to give you an idea that you are potentially sitting on some knowledge or some ideas that you could actually package and learn how to sell. Those two courses that were so far left that were generating over six figures a year was one course was in learning how to detect copper deficiency in goats. And the other course was advanced blacksmithing. Now, I don't know about you. I thought blacksmiths went extinct. I thought that was, you know, I thought it was in medieval times. I thought that went out with swords and shields. Me and old people are out here teaching advanced blacksmithing and selling digital courses on that. So trust me when I say you are sitting on some type of knowledge that you could learn how to package together and monetize. And for that, we welcome to Digital World, Emil. Emil, how you doing today, bro?
So far, so good. Fair to fine, like the weather.
Hey,
that is me okay, right?
Loud and clear, loud and clear.
Nice.
As we kick things off, how has 2026 started off for you?
2026 has started off challenging, but looks very, very promising. Things are looking up already since Monday. I think you'll know why since Monday.
Yeah. I know. Listen, man, 2026 is one of those years where there is so much things that are changing. And again, these are the types of conversations that people need to hear, because these aren't the conversations you're going to be having in school.
No, definitely not.
You're not going to be in primary school. You're not going to be in tertiary and hear anything about Udemy, Coursera, Teachable, Kajabi, packaging and monetizing your knowledge and your skill sets. So this is something that I get asked about a lot. packaging right. your knowledge and building your skill set. So, I mean, to kick things off, what first made you realize that industrial automation knowledge, actually, no, before we even get into that, Emil, tell us about what it is that you actually do and what it is that you actually teach. Let's start with that.
Okay. All right. So what I teach is probably close to something as quaint as blacksmithing. So yeah, but that's a good one. So I worked over the years up until 2003 when I went out on my own for different contracting companies in the oil and gas sector, light manufacturing, that sort of space right here in Trinidad. And during that time, I dealt with systems that, you know, in we are surrounded by networks. So in mainstream IT, we know Wi-Fi, we know 4G, we know 5G, we know Ethernet, all these things, we're surrounded by it. In a manufacturing plant, you don't want to hear anything about, well, sorry, the Wi-Fi drop off or not connecting. It's totally different communication networks. It must work 24/7. So one of these still the most popular networks running in factories was developed in 1979, and it's still the most popular. So that's how paranoid persons working in factories are in introducing new technology. That's the thing. So what I teach is in oil and gas, energy, manufacturing, the devices that actually get the products on the assembly line and off the assembly line, how those communicate with one another. Not even how they operate, but how they communicate. So it's industrial communication and networking. So it's a really, really niche area that focuses on that heavy industry and how automation devices communicate with one another to get you the products that you have in your hand and order from Amazon every single day. So as niche as that. Right.
I'm so glad that what you teach is so niche, because one of the things that people, I guess one of the misconceptions is that people think that they have a skill set that is too niche that nobody else would want to pay for that kind of knowledge, right? So to your point, like I said, when I first heard, I'm so glad that when I was in that webinar, you know, they kind of the same mindset. They went and found, just to prove a point, like you could package anything, because as long as you are solving, if you have a problem and you are solving that problem, there's somebody else with that problem.
Exactly.
And the challenge is that person who has your problem that you are solving might not be in your country. So you might think to yourself, right, industrial communications, there might not be enough people to sell to, because maybe not enough people have that problem for this to be a profitable business long term.
Right.
What course creation does, and platforms like Udemy, is it allows you to connect to the people that have that problem anywhere in the world. So when did you realize that you could actually package this and turn it into a course and go Udemy? How does that even come to mind? Because again, it's not something you learn in school. It's not a seed that is planted in the school. Where did this come from?
Okay, so first of all, to sort of trail off on your point about, you know, you can go worldwide, right? Mm-hmm. Here's a crazy statistic. Thus far, I have around 33,000 persons who have purchased my courses worldwide.
That is insane.
Two of the purchases are from Trinidad. Two. Just two.
If you were to launch as a business, you would have done close up shop when you started.
Big fail. So that's how, you know, as you mentioned, you have these courses that can be worldwide. All of a sudden, the world is your market, and it's not a fairy tale. It's the actual truth that the world is your market. Now, to your second question, which is, how did I get into this? So I left my job around 2003, because I wanted to be the only idiot I report to. So so I decided to do, and I was freelancing, right?
Yeah.
Now, freelancing in like software development and so on, in freelancing is feast and famine. So sometimes you have too much work, sometimes you have too little work. It all depends, and you try your best to market yourself. So I was looking for an additional source of income so that would run regardless, or if I was sick or not sick, working or not working, I just needed another income stream for some added security. And I started looking at different options, looking at, you know, software as a service, software products, all these different things for local businesses and so on. And had a few ideas, developed a couple products, all of which flopped. Flopped totally. And it was an interesting intersection that I was going about it the wrong way. So here's how I would go about it. Geez, I have a great idea. I think this great idea, everybody will think it's a great idea. Let me develop this product and then look for customers. And that field one after the other. Now, maybe some people can do that. I'm just not talented enough to do that. So I'm a big fan of author Seth Godin. He's an author blogger. You will know about Seth Godin on, right? So he made this statement, and this statement is what I built my Udemy stuff around. People like us do things like this. People like us do things like this. It means whatever your profession is, there are people who are trying to get where you are, but there are people who have surpassed you and moved on. So there are people who are better at stuff and people who are worse at stuff. So there are people out there in the world, in your profession, that are trying to move from point A to point B. Right? They're trying to go, and they're trying to move there. The hardest part of sales is to try to convince someone who doesn't want to go in direction go in a direction. That's impossible. You know, if somebody thinks that a COVID-19 vaccine will implant a chip in them, it will implant a chip in them. Right? You can't convince them otherwise. But if you find the people that already want to go in a certain direction, then you could say, oh, I have this package, this course, this thing that will help you get there. So what you want to do, just like you're saying, solving problems, you want to try to help people to get where they already want to go and find those people. So one of my expertise was industrial communications. The question was, are there people out there that or are in this field that want to know what I already know? Right. So the idea was, let's see if there are customers, let's see if what those customers need, and then see what I can do. So I wasn't even thinking of courses. Courses wasn't in mind. It was about customer needs, customer pain points, and so on. And you work back from the customers. And this was 2016 when I decided to do this, right? Ten years ago.
Wow.
Again, old boy Caron. 10 years ago. 10 years ago. And so I just went on these crappy discussion forums that had to do with industrial communication and just started looking at what people were talking about, what they were frustrated by, what was going on. And a big complaint, now the automation and manufacturing industry is not like the IT industry where you just have information all around. Yeah. Manufacturers, the persons who provide the automation equipment like to hide. They like to screech draft. They like to just hide all the information. Only now is coming out. So the big complaint was, we can't find any information on these topics, industrial communication. And one of the biggest complaints was on something called Modbus, which is just a type of communication. And I just decided to go on the forum and talk about it and say, well, I know about it. And this is this and this is that. And I was helping people out and finding that there was a need. And eventually I said, why not do a course? And here's the interesting thing. There's no more Petrotrin anymore, right? Right. In 2001, when I was still working in a company, a contracting company, I had a project where I had to do some training materials. And I did some videos and they wanted to throw me out of the building because they said, nobody's going to learn via video in this world. They're only going to learn through documentation. So I had to throw all the videos out that I did, the teaching videos, and then do documentation. They said, this is how people learn, through documentation. We don't want to hear about videos, right?
Right.
So fast forward now. So that is when I decided to create a course on Udemy and publish the course. And then I went back to the discussion groups and sort of whispered, hey, by the way, I have this course if you want to check it out. So I kind of already knew that people would be interested and there was a pain point I was solving. And that's one of the tricks with Udemy. And I think with most businesses, right, is that when you're starting up, there are lots of instructors on Udemy that will have their own idea and publish the course to crickets. Nobody will subscribe. Nobody. Because they didn't solve a need that was already out there, a pain point that was out there. And so one of the key things before getting into all the technical parts of the courses, and there's information on that, is ensure that you are solving a real problem in the real world, right? And that your audience is a bit underserved. If, you know, if I decided to create a course in programming on Udemy, I'll get clobbered. The audience is overserved. There are hundreds, maybe even 1,000 programming courses on Udemy. Who's me?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So that kind of thing. So that is how I got into it. It was to seek out an additional source of income that would be more robust, that I would, where I could, whether I'm sleeping or waking, I could be earning money. And that's how it started. Yeah. Yeah.
That is a powerful story, especially when you're going to the forums, you're serving your audience, you're seeing what challenges and problems they're having, and then, hey, you're engaging with the audience first to kind of validate the idea. And there's an author by the name of Joe Polizzi. And Joe Polizzi has this book called Content Inc. And in Content Inc., the whole premise of that book is building the audience before you even have the product.
Right. Yes, yes.
And one of the best ways to do that is by getting into the forums and adding to the conversations and just building your own presence up and being seen as somebody who knows information or who has some expertise in a particular field. So when you actually build up that audience, by the time you are ready to say, hey guys, I have a course, you have somebody to tell, you have somebody to sell to, right?
Yes.
So that might be a next. That might be the fourth book you could go and check out. Content Inc.
Yes. Content. Yeah. I'll remember that.
Content Inc. That's the next big one. So for you, was there and Curtis will jump in right after this, but when you are on the forums, you're seeing the problems. Did you ever think, well, this is an international platform. I'm talking about something that is, you know, that is a big topic globally. Did you ever feel like, who am I from Trinidad to then go and create a course on this? Because this is not like a Trinidad topic. This is not like, you know, I'm making a course on how to make a carnival costume. We're talking about an internationally certified defensible line of business. Did you ever think, would anybody from the rest of the world want to hear about industrial communications from where? To Trinidad and Tobago? What? Did it ever cross your mind?
10 years later, it still crosses my mind. Imposter syndrome never goes away. Imposter syndrome never goes away, at least with me. So, excellent question. When I first published the course and put it on, I was just like, you know, Emil, you gotta be crazy. They have so many other people in the world better at you than this thing. Who are you to be coming to the table and wanting to teach people about this? You know, what's going on? And that's a real thing, especially since, you know, you live in this country that's 1.4 million people, 1.3 million people, and it's in the Caribbean. And you're thinking, gosh, you know, it's a big world. What do we have to contribute? What do I have to contribute? The thing about it is, this is a real thing that cures my imposter syndrome. You don't teach because you're an expert. You're an expert because you teach.
Mm.
That's how it is, right?
Yes.
There are lots of people who know much more than me about my field. They're not teaching. They're not teaching it. So if you could come forward and say, I have a solution for you, no matter where you are, and there's no such thing as ageism in this industry. Nobody cares how old I am or how short or tall I am or what my skin color is or if I look good on camera or if I sound like I have nasal congestion when I'm speaking into the microphone. They don't care. Can you get me from point A to point B as quickly as possible? And that's it. So by teaching is a form of marketing, and you become this quote-unquote expert when you teach. So part of it is being bold enough to step out there and say, you know, I'm going to try this. And here's the thing, right? You know, when I first logged on, you were talking about the education system. I mean, I'm so lucky to have gone through our education system. I'm thankful for it and so on. I'm a product of it. But I also know that right now it needs to be revolutionized because it gets you stuck with a certain mindset. I have to write the SCA exam. If I don't get it once, my whole future, if I don't succeed, my whole future is gone, right?
Yeah.
So it's like this all or nothing attitude is built into you. Whereas in this game of the online and marketing and teaching and all of this stuff, you have to kind of adopt the posture of learning to ride a bike. You know, who learned to ride a bike without breaking the tail? I don't know anybody. So you know that you make a first step, it's not going to be perfect. Then you iterate again. You get back on the bike. You get back on the bike. You get back on the bike. You don't say, oh gosh, I fall long once. I'm a failure. I'll never be good at this. Bye-bye. Right? So that is the attitude you have to adopt. And it's a big mind shift that you're saying, okay, I published this course. People might hate it or nobody would subscribe. If nobody subscribes, nobody knows I failed. So what's the big deal, right? So your enemy is not criticism. Your enemy is indifference, right? When people just don't care about your course. So when I published the course and brought people from the forums and they subscribed, some of them liked it. Some of them said it should have this, it should have that. And all of a sudden they were giving me marketing information.
That's feedback. Yeah.
That's feedback. It's like, oh, thank you very much. And then I improved and improved and improved. And here's the trick with Udemy. Udemy's algorithm waits for you to market your course. And immediately when they see that you're bringing in people, the algorithm kicks in and then starts promoting it. Because the algorithm says, wait a minute, there's something here. Let's make some money off of this guy. You know, that kind of thing. So that is my long answer to imposter syndrome.
So that's
the thing is so the fact that I could teach so I'll give you the last statistic is that I've taught people in 152 countries in the world.
How many actual teachers in TNT could say that?
Not know. 152. I look at it now and I just look at it and I don't think it's real, but it's real. 152 countries. So that is Caribbean outreach for you, right? You know, and this is this weird niche. I've taught in countries I didn't hear of before. Is that a country? So yeah. So that is the reach is real. It's not a fairy tale. It's I am doing it. So it's not a fairy tale at all. It can be done.
No, I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a question for you, Emil. Now, I'm sitting on this side of all the listeners that are saying, I believe I'm skilled with something. I believe that I can share something. But from your experience, what were some of the initial roadblocks that you met and you said, you know what, I'm not going to turn back. I'm going to press through this to get there, be it software or maybe how you're going to upload it or having the right video or even how are you going to check out, how are you going to get paid? What were some of the roadblocks that you had to push beyond to get there, to the completion and publishing?
Right. Okay. Excellent question. So I think the roadblocks I would put into two categories. The first category, which was a bigger roadblock for me personally, was thinking that this nobody from the Caribbean, quote unquote, could actually do this, that people would actually care that I can actually do this. That was the biggest problem there, where I had to take a chance and see where it went. Because up to now, when I tell people what I do, they're like, you just make money off of that, boy. You can do that. So it's always met with a certain amount of incredulity, right? The second category is what you spoke about in terms of the technical challenges. And the minute you think about making a video and presenting it to someone, is that you're at risk. You're at risk, and you're thinking to yourself, I'll probably look crappy on camera. I'll sound really bad. They'll find out I'm a phony. I don't know how to upload the videos. I don't know how to do the recording. Suppose I say and this and whatever and that too many times, and you start to worry about all these different things. The good thing now in overcoming it is you can go on YouTube by yourself, nobody watching, and just search for tips and tricks on how to do it. And it is not complicated in the sense that, behind me right now is a microphone and a laptop.
Right.
That's it. And there's a webcam. Right now I'm using it, so it's not back there. So you don't need a ton of equipment. You don't need the best lighting in the world. I use sunlight. That's it. Right? And it's PowerPoint slides moving. And you learn as you go along. So I would say to people, don't be afraid. With respect to courses, when people are, I have to go to a wedding soon, and you know, in a wedding, everybody dresses up and that sort of thing and so on, and everybody's self-conscious, wonder, do I look good? Do I not look good? But everybody just thinking about themselves; they're not really thinking about anybody else. So nobody, you're thinking about you. So, what you really want to do is to concentrate on the customer and what that customer needs and say, okay, how can I get them from point A to point B, and do your best with it, because you can always refine it. Because once you're trying honestly to get the customer from point A to point B, then you they will forgive a certain amount of, this video is not the most perfect video in the world. So getting up to speed technically is not that difficult at all. It's easy, actually, especially with all of the advice on YouTube right now. Payment is always a problem in TNT. So when I first joined Udemy, the payment was only to PayPal. So all I could link to it was my Visa credit card. So the income coming into to Udemy from course sales, I would move it to my Visa card to pay my credit card bill. That was the only way I could get the income coming in. Then not about a couple of years after, Payoneer came online, payoneer.com. And Payoneer handles mass payouts from these international companies like Shopify, mass payouts. And you could create an account. Any trainee could go on Payoneer, create an account, and then there's this drop-down list which shocked me that says Republic Bank, Royal Bank, JMB, this kind of. They have all our banks in this system. It's like, how you all know all about all our banks? You choose your bank, you put in your account number, boom, that's it. So I am on Payoneer, and the money is wire transferred to my account every month, direct, no problems. Never had a problem. And the exchange rate, well, they do some Forex stuff to earn their money, but they don't charge any fees. It's hidden in their, the exchange rate that they give you, and I get 6.4 right now. Wow. That's not bad. I'm good with
have
it.
Have you tried their credit card, their prepaid card?
I have one. I have the debit card, so I can move money to that debit card if I want. So I have it, and I use it, can use it internationally. So you can, you get paid in U.S., which is really nice, because you could build up that account if you don't want to move it into your local account. So you get paid $1,000 US, you could decide, I'm going to pull down $500 US and leave the other $500 there to do something with. All of a sudden, you have a debit card with a limit of $10,000 US a day. I would love to earn $10,000 US a day, but I don't. But that's your spend. Right, so Payoneer is good with respect to that. So that payment problem was solved there. So being on Udemy as a Trinidadian person, you could get payment into any bank in TNT. Yeah.
Now,
and of course, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was saying that is one of the roadblocks we always have as Caribbean people, especially Trinidadians, that we always first by default think that anything international is cut off from us and it can't be done. We think that we can't earn on YouTube because we're from Trinidad. We think we can't earn on Facebook. We can't earn anywhere. We always think that there's a blockage right away. So I'm glad that you were able to share that, that there are ways. And Karen, you share about that tons of times. How many times? Karen, you said over and over that it is possible to be paid online through these platforms.
We will keep saying it. And we will keep saying it until more people are getting paid online. Because you know what? These conversations are so important because every single day we log into social media, we are hearing people talk about the lack of opportunities, the lack of jobs, the lack of this, lack. And for myself, you, Curtis, Samil, and many other Trinbagonians living right in Trinidad and Tobago, we have learned there is no lack. Because if a meal could be down the islands, relaxing with a little drink in the hand, and he check his phone, ping, 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 and it's
cha-ching.
new registration, cha-ching, right? He on the beach, cha-ching, and it's people from over 152 countries from around the world that are purchasing his course. We do not have any lack in TNT. Or maybe there's a lack in TNT, but there's no lack in general. What has to happen is we have to have more people who are willing to realize that the world is an interconnected village, and you have customers any and everywhere in the world. But I think one of the biggest challenges is when we think of a business, we still think business and we limit it to things that we can do or sell that is tangible. So we would do a buy and sell business. Right? Because we buying the products low and we go and we sell high. We would do a food business, right? Go and sell, whether you're selling at a restaurant or selling on the side of the road, but we get into food businesses a lot. All of those businesses have so many roadblocks ahead of them, right? And they're capped because you are only selling to people within your vicinity. We don't ever think about digital products or digital services or remote jobs. And if we were to start thinking in either one of those lanes, whether it's a digital service, whether you want to be, a paralegal, but you're doing it remotely, right? From have a lawyer friend right here in Trinidad provides legal services to clients up the islands, right? You could provide services. Digital products. Emil is talking about selling courses on Udemy. That is a digital product. And the best part about digital products, Curtis, You build it once.
Set it and forget it.
Yep.
Until it's time to iterate and keep it fresh and whatever the case mm-hmm. is. But you build it once and you can scale with that. So, Emil, mm-hmm. what I want to ask you is, for the people thinking about creating a course for the very first time, right?
Right.
One of the biggest challenges that everybody has. So, yes, we know we have to solve a problem or we have to help mm-hmm. somebody achieve a desire. We're either helping them solve a problem or helping someone achieve a desire.
Mm-hmm.
What goes into determining what is going to be the end result you want the person to have? Like, how do you go about creating? Like, I know for me, I start mm-hmm. with the end.
Right.
Okay, I want them to get here, and I walk it backwards, and then I kind of think about, you know, what is that going to look like in a course? Is it going to be a short course, a long course? And you kind of...
Yeah.
But for you, what goes into creating that course? And what does your process look like?
My process looks like chaos. So it's chaos. It is always a difficult thing to determine what the course content should be. What are the steps that you take the person through in the course? And how long should the course be? How short should it be? So there are a few guidelines that I have for myself. Number one, more isn't better. Better is better.
Mm.
So there are courses on Udemy that are 24 hours long. They just packed it with content. And they think, well, the more content you pack it with, the better this course is. In the education system, that's how the more stuff you put at the teacher, the higher the mark you'll get. That's not it. Your job is to get the person from point A to point B as quickly as possible. Don't shortchange anything, but get them quickly as possible. Because no one told me recently, hey, boy, Emil, you know, I just find I have more time on my hands. Everybody has less time on their hands. So you have to deal with an audience that has less and less and less and less time and less attention on their hands. Okay, so that's the guideline. So better is better. So most of my courses will be 2 to 3 hours long. You don't want it to be 24 hours long. One of the guidelines. The other thing is, you know, I have a whiteboard in my office. And I will sit down and stare at it and then think of what are the main points that I want this person to understand. And then I will just keep jotting it down and keep refining it and refining it and refining it and come up with sections. And then within each section is a big point, and then the different videos in that section to get the point across. Right. And since I deal with a technical field, I always make it ultra practical. Learn by doing. Learn by doing. That's the main thing, because you don't want it helps the student not to fall asleep while doing your course, right? You're just listening to this thing, right? Learn by doing. And that's the way. Now, and I iterate. And when I finally finish the course and I have my outline, I always feel it's not good enough. But that's my feeling. So I do it anyway, and I push it out there, and then I will get feedback and refine it once it's published. So it's a sort of chaotic way. Now, that being said, the last course that I did, I went on to Claude.ai, and I put in the goals of the course that I want for the student, and it gave me a course outline that was better than anything I could think of. Right. But I still refined it because it was a little too long. And I told Claude, this is too long. Shorten it. And then I kept on prompting it. And it came up with this outline. Now, is that sort of cheating? No, because my goal is to help the student succeed. Right.
Yeah.
However, the information is curated. That means that I've still helped them. So what has now changed the game for me was that the last course that I created and is doing well, took me a month. Before, it took 3 months, right? By using these tools, you can do that. So it makes the entry point much, much easier. I wish I had this tool 2016, 2017, 2018, going. I wish, because I would have not have to use I wouldn't have to use as much Just for Men Here, Diane Men Here. I'd have less gray, right? So that's how I used to do it, and now I've had this new method. I mean, everything spoken in the course is still me. The text is mine, but I'm getting help from Claude in terms of not missing anything. Structure. You know, because there are things that it gets wrong. So you have to know the material. You know, you better know the material as the expert. The things it gets wrong, and you push back against it. So you know the material. So I will get an outline on Claude. Then I'm on Google doing my research. I'm looking at the actual websites. I'm looking at the information, and I know the material. So that every word is mine. But now you can actually create a course faster using these tools, these AI tools. Yeah.
It's great that you didn't have it in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And I say this from my own angle as well.
Right.
We use AI tools so much now, but as you said, it gets it wrong. And you have to be, if you're not an expert at what you do, you're going to miss these things. And
that's
you're
going
to lead people astray, or you're not going to get the end results.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why it's great that we didn't have it in 2016 is because you actually had to do the work.
Oh, yeah.
And it's only because you had 10 years of actually grinding and going through the entire process.
Yep.
Now, when you have AI tools in front of you, you know exactly where your bottlenecks are. You know exactly what this tool can come in and iterate faster than you could ever, or spin up something. So now if I'm, even when I'm creating a workshop now, I could go from, I need an hour, and an hour to go from getting all of my thoughts out of my head to now with AI creating the types of graphics that it can create. I go from knowledge in my head, make an outline, build all of my, and I'm the same way where all of my work is I'm not talking to you, we're doing the work. So everything is very hands-on with me, so I don't need a whole ton of slides. I just need to have a structure of what the end result is going to get to.
Yep.
And with the AI tools now, you can, an hour from thought, outline, all completed slides, and that might take in me a week.
Right?
Because you're inside Canva, you're piecing together, you're still doing all of your research. Like, you're going to take a week, a month, whatever it is, right?
Agreed.
You have a lot to put it, and Curtis makes courses too, so Curtis can jump in as well, because Curtis is now the AI banter now too. So Curtis, now, and I'll throw it to you, because you make courses as well. Like, how has AI impacted? How are you seeing the similar effects to what Emil is saying?
Spot on. I have been teaching a wide range of topics, from voice training to public speaking to now teaching AI models from beginner to more advanced sides. And I'm telling you, the format and the structure that you now have available to you now, you can get things done at a fraction of the time, really and truly, a fraction of the time. And how these models are set up, it's all going along the journey with you. So you could, 5 minutes before me meeting with a client, because my clients are now set up in my LLMs, 5 minutes before meeting with them, I don't need to remember what we spoke about last week. I just go right back and say, what should we be talking about today? I you were even listening in on my last meeting. What are some of the points that I need to bring here to move my client from point A to point B the fastest? Now, that erases the rambling that have to happen for a whole half an hour in the session just to catch myself up and then start to help my clients go forward. So using these tools have made me faster and now brought the outcome to the clients way faster, which is exactly what they needed. So it's helping my business on all sides, especially when it comes to courses and certifications and all that. So I just feel 1,000%. I'm just shaking my head on this side like, yeah, you're spot on. I was just waiting to get into how you use AI and the tools of this time to right. do things a whole 100 times faster and save more time. So, Karen, you were spot on there.
Now, Emil, do you see AI as a threat to educators, or do you see it as a tool to enhance what it is that we are doing and what it is that we are teaching? Because, yeah, what do you think?
Enhance, definitely enhance. Mm. That has been my experience. Couple points there. In my field, in what I teach, you have to teach the student how to use software applications that are associated with the communication networks. Claude can't do that. Gemini can't do that. You have to do a screencast, record your screen, narrate it. The software applications in my industry are some of the worst designed software applications on the planet. They are user unfriendly. And if you go on to, there's so little material on it because in the automation industry, they don't like to publish their material, that if you go into any of the LLMs, they will not know what to tell you because they just don't know about
it. To make things up.
It's such in a corner of the internet that nobody could find. So you have, so it can't do those things. You have to do that via screencast. So the human is still necessary there. And also in my courses now, the recently published ones, I encourage the students to jump into the LLMs because the course gives you a framework. Because sometimes when you're learning something, you don't know what you don't know. You don't know where to go. You don't have a framework. So the course gives them that framework. And now, I understand this thing now. Let's dive deeper. So the LLMs help you to dive deeper once you give the framework that you deliver the framework in the course. Now they know what the good questions are, the relevant questions are. So I would say definitely enhance 100%. Yeah.
That's the experience. I reckon the same idea. I think that my situation is a little bit different from yours, as yours, you're very, very niche in terms of what you're doing. But the courses that I offer, in my side of the world, I would say information is no longer for sale on my side because it's so accessible. You can literally ask ChatGPT to teach you how to use ChatGPT. You understand what I mean? And it would be spot on. But then why are people buying my courses? I would say, one, because humanity has a problem with completion of any particular task, and accountability is what they are paying for. And they continue to pay for accountability, and they also pay for community. So I'm not selling information, I'm selling accountability to get them there to the desired result. And I'm also now providing community where they can bounce questions off others and build and encourage and get encouragement along the journey, even in a space that is not even live. So even in a self-paced mode, there are platforms that provide community, a community side of it and all of that. So I've seen growth in those areas where you would think that, people have access to all the information. What are those teachers and educators going to do? If teachers don't adapt or use the technology of the time, they will be replaced by people and teachers who now adapt and use the technology of the time.
Yeah. Spot on. Yeah.
I think it is, it's, we have to start getting people learning how to learn with AI.
That's good.
Learning how to think with AI. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, we've seen some reports that were talking about how AI is making people less smart, right? And I don't know how that's happening, because I know the amount of thinking that I do with AI.
That's it. That's the truth.
I don't know how people are getting dumber with AI. Because the amount, the thing is with me, and you gentlemen could come in and chime in with your perspective. The thing is with me and AI tools is they are thinking partners. They are sparring partners. They are my brain dumps. They are revealing things that I have not, aspects of things that I haven't thought about. So I would do a brain dump, and my brain dump is my brain dump. And when I dump it into ChatGPT or Claude or whoever, they can come back and say, okay, this is great. You're 60% there. Here is the other 40% that is necessary that you have not thought about. And I'm like, oh, well, that makes sense. Or no, I'm not talking about that because that's not relevant for where we're trying to go. But you can do so much more that now I spend so much more time on the brain dumping and the researching part. That by the time, like if I'm coming up, like, okay, for example, if I'm writing an article, before, when I just jump into Microsoft Word, it might take me an hour to write out everything in my head. But now, to write that same article would take me 2 to 3 hours because I spend so much more time on the research part.
Right.
Because now I can bring so much more different elements. Yeah. And now I'm experimenting. So now I would write an article. But now I'm like, all right, well, now I want to take the same written article that would go into a blog or a column. But now I want to do a visual storytelling carousel on IG. And it's so much easier to then start to build out different assets because you spent so much time on the research and building up the actual input that you have so much more to work with. So I spend so much more time now on the conceptualizing, the research, because we have these tools that are doing all the heavy lifting. And when you can, okay, you go ahead and do this. Go grab information over here. You go grab information over here. You sit down, you analyze, and you just keep on refining. So much more goes into it. The quality of the output is so much richer. And I think for as an enhancer, I'm on the side of the enhancing as well. And I asked the question because people also ask, you know, Is LLMs going to replace teachers? And I'm like, absolutely not. It's going to teach you a lot, but there's so much more. You need lived experience from a human.
Yeah.
Right? Lived experience is what is always going to set up to going to set people apart. So, you know, Amir, my next question to you is, for the people who are thinking about it, right? They're on the fence. They're thinking about it. What's the best way to validate an idea? To give them the confidence to say, you know what? This might actually make some sense. How would we go about validating the idea?
All right. I think there are a few ways to do it. So, first of all, coming back to the LLMs, go on the LLMs and say, I have this idea of creating a course, creating a product, and so on. And is this a possibility? Will people pay me for this, etc., etc., etc.? See what it says. Use that as a starting point. Then you could ask it, cite some the websites where you got this information from, and you could start your own investigation. And you do your research there. The other thing is the what I call watering holes. There are, if your topic or what you're looking to do is discussed somewhere on the internet, whether on a Discord, whether on a discussion group, whether where it is, if it's a closed Facebook group, it's whatever it is, try and find where people are discussing the problem, and see if you could become part of that group. And also pull from your own experience as a starting point. You know what? I'm an HR professional.
Yeah.
In coming up to the HR, where it is a catch material? What are the things that really bothered me that I was frustrated with and I wish would have been easier? Those could be your starting pain points. And you go and do some investigation, go on Google, go on the LLMs, try and find the watering holes and see if other people had those frustrations and work from there. It's an iterative process and you try to be as objective as possible and just look for those keys. And if you can participate in discussions, by all means do. You find out even more. Mm. And that is how I would do that sort of research to try and get a bearing. And in the end, one to remember is that you probably would not hit it on the first time around. You'll probably be close. And if you like, for instance, how I do tests is that over time, I have a YouTube following about 5,000 subscribers. If I have an idea I want to flesh out for a course, I'll get a particular pain point of a topic and publish a YouTube video on it and see if people react to it and so on. That's another thing you could do as a test. So by doing research and doing small tests, you could, come close to pain point or pain points that's out there. That's how I would do it. Hmm. Yeah.
No, Karen, you said so much, Karen, before in terms of your question. I'm trying to make sure I chime in on all of the parts, the moving parts. Now, you mentioned, Karen, about persons who are worried that we are losing our brains and that we are losing the power to think because of these LLMs. And we wouldn't be able to be intelligent in the future, if to say. And I was thinking in that moment, the amount of time now I spend thinking before even going to the LLMs. It was, I think, before I would have even jumped into something a lot quicker if I didn't get the right research done. As well as one of the things that I spend more time thinking about is the right prompting before even coming up with a course, before even putting a course out there. I sit down and I am thinking the entire journey of the prompt to get the right outcome on the other end. And a lot of people don't put time into prompting, and so they get a lot of generic answers, so they'll get generic things going on. As well as I make sure that the kind of context that I want, especially what you were saying, Emil, where in terms of the research, how do you get research done and you will go firstly to the LLMs, I would spend now time making sure that I design the mind of the LLM to give me the right responses and not become that yes guy, because trust and believe, ChatGPT is going to be your yes guy. So if I take an idea to it, it's going to say that is going to be the most brilliant thing. It's going to save the planet. Go forward with it. So I spend so much time using my creative thinking before putting an AI, an idea towards an LLM, or even before starting to draft a prompt to get the kind of answers going, that I think now more creative power is going into, or more thinking is going into. I think, and it's one of the things I tell my students, that we are moving from just the doers to the directors. And that is one of the reasons why directors get paid more, because people see them just sitting down in their offices, rocking their chair, but getting more pay, but not realizing the kind of thinking power that has to happen on their end and what they're responsible for and the direction, that it is more high level. Processes, and that is where we have to be as educators, putting courses online and all these different things, using the tools of the time, that we become the directors and use the tools to really drive the people that need a transformation towards the desired result. So I just wanted to drop that in there in terms of how we now think alongside AI and how it's actually making us, or expanding our intelligence rather than reducing it. Yeah?
Yeah.
I think that's why I feel like we need to have more discussions or courses or workshops on thinking with LLMs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the way that you work has completely changed. Because as you said, you spend so much more time in the prep.
yeah.
That, and the more you spend in the prep, the end result comes easy. You could get the end results in a couple of prompts, but what to set the stage and to put everything in place and to get everything where you want it to be and to revise, you know, when you're going back and forth and you're thinking with, I think that definitely has to be something that, because they do it in China. In China, they introduced teaching AI and LLMs in kindergarten.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And they're doing that because the whole purpose is that AI is not going anywhere. This is like the calculator. Like at one point, now, Emil, I don't know when you were growing up, but I'm not trying to age you. I don't know what people were using to count back in the day. At one point, there was an abacus. I have never seen an abacus in any of my schools. You know what I mean?
Correct.
It was calculators and whatnot. And now, you know, I don't even know if kids are going to school with calculators anymore. I don't know if they're just using their phones.
Yeah, just their phones, probably. Yeah.
Just mm-hmm. your phones or whatever the case is. So in China, they've introduced AI so early because the goal is to get kids thinking with AI. And now that you're thinking with AI, it becomes an extension. And the things that you can do, the things that you can analyze. I like to give everybody the mental picture of Iron Man and Jarvis. Tony Stark is a genius on his own. Yeah. Tony Stark is a genius on his own.
Yep.
But Jarvis, as the AI assistant, can simply do things as a supercomputer that Tony Stark cannot do as a human.
That's it.
So when Tony Stark says, hey, Jarvis, analyze these 1,000 samples, tell me da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, Jarvis can do that in 2 seconds, and now Tony Stark, the human, can go and make the right decision, right? So, Emil, two more questions before we wrap. I'll ask my final question, and Curtis could have the final question.
Mm-hmm.
For the people who are getting into, you know, they've now been inspired and now thinking, all right, you know what? I feel like going to make a little doubles course right now, right? And let me go and sell that to the world.
Right.
The question comes in anybody creating a course content, do I go Udemy or do I go Kajabi or the Teachables or the Thinkific? When people are coming to and asking, you know, where do we start? What's your thought process on which route to go? Udemy or going into the platforms where you have to kind of build your own brand or create your own courses? What goes into deciding which route to take?
So, some stuff to unpack there. It depends. One of the advantages with Udemy is that you concentrate on creating this course and then they do the rest for you, the marketing and the sales and so on, which not everybody likes to do, but should be doing. And if it is that you are now starting out and you just want to create that course and see what happens, by all means, you know, go that way. If it is you're willing to invest more time in doing the, your own promotion via YouTube, written articles, et cetera, go with Thinkific or Kajabi or something. The reason being is, and now that's some pros and cons, but on the Udemy side, if you decide to go there, they take a sizable chunk of the revenue, right? Mm. So you and things are changing there with some mergers and so on. So you have to know that they take that chunk for the amount of for getting the sales for you. So to build your revenue will be slower, and the pricing, they determine a lot of the pricing where they have these sales at the end of every month. With Thinkific and Kajabi, you set your own price. So now you can charge more. So I think it all depends on your own leaning. At this point in time, I would say put in the work and learn how to do your own marketing and sales, and go the Thinkific or Kajabi way. That might be better in terms of getting higher amount of revenue. And however, if it is that you just want to do it as quickly as possible and get it out there as quickly as possible, maybe as a test, and you can have that. Or you can do both. You have a course on Udemy, and you could tell them at the end of the course, I also have a course package with a PDF, package with a this, package with one-on-one coaching on this other site. And then you could have your higher sales there. So you could do both at the same time and reap the rewards from both. So it's a mix and match like that. Yeah.
Mm. Curtis. Nice. Now, with what you've done so far over the past 10 years, where do you see yourself going? Like, what's next for you? Is it a new frontier, a new course is coming? Is it that you're releasing a book or a live class? Where do you see your teaching journey going from this point?
Well, Caron, I've been doing some real homework these days, so so that's the way. Okay, from the next step for me is actually doubling down on doing more of my own marketing, sales, promotion, and so on, because I would rely on Udemy for that. That's the next step. And also creating, complementary products. So you could have, as I said before, course combined with a document combined with something else, or I'm thinking of going into one-on-one coaching as well. So different ways of packaging for persons who have different needs. So that's as far as I see things are going with respect to me. Then again, the environment might change totally in a year.
Yeah.
And I'll have to reset and go from there again. Yeah. So in this time, your greatest asset is adaptability.
That's it. Perfect.
Is adaptability. That's what you need. But I just want coming back to a point that Karen had asked me about, as in terms of, creating the course and so on, and doing the research. There's some things to remember. Number one, we in the Caribbean deserve a seat at the table. Hmm. No one could tell us that we're not good enough to sell to the world. So that goes off, that's put out aside immediately. That should not come to mind. We are good enough. And also, there comes a time when your research stops and the doing begins. Whether you publish an article on LinkedIn, whether you create a video on YouTube, by doing, there's something that happens in your brain that allows you to do better the next time. So at some point, you stop the research and you start doing and testing. And it's a long game. This is not 1 month and I get rich off of Udemy, right? This is a long game. So you are playing the long game, but it's a great game I'm in my 50s. I have colleagues that have been fired from their jobs, laid off. And ageism is a real thing. They can't get jobs because they are in their 50s. They prefer to hire, you know. You can't get fired from doing this. This is you. So it's a protected space. You adapt, you put something good out there, and nobody could fire you. You have this income coming in, and you continue to, you know, follow the rules of promotion, marketing, getting people where they want to go.
Yeah.
I think now more than ever, where the job market is so fluid, you really have to have something that the quote-unquote side hustle, I hate that, but something else that goes on alongside that is bringing in income as well, that you could fall back on, or even it becomes your main thing, right? So I just wanted to say that one.
No, that's brilliant. And I think, you know what? I think what we have to have more people learning about is there's something called portfolio work, where people are now not just relying on one stream, and it's no longer even just, you know, side hustles. Like these are real multiple streams of income that all kind of fit into your ecosystem. So whether that could be a full-time job, it could be selling courses, it could be providing a service, we have to start learning how to create these multiple streams of income. But more importantly, I want more people to learn about how to start getting the digital revenue coming in. Because as we are in this time in TNT, the country is not going to wake up and start printing money from oil coming in, right?
Yep.
It's not going to happen. And whenever our fortunes change, we don't know how long that's going to happen, and we don't know how long before we see the impact. In the meantime, we are constantly complaining about a lack of opportunities in TNT. And what Emil has just spent the last hour talking about is the fact that 152 countries know Emil's name. How many students have you taught over the years?
33,000.
Crazy.
33,000. That is a chunk of the percentage of the population of TNT. Right?
Yep.
We do not have a lack of opportunities, because if you learn how to tap into the digital spaces, you will realize that even if your client, because as Emil said, Emil has only had in the 10 years and 33,000 client students, only two from Trinidad.
Wow.
Yep.
That if you went to any business coach, the first thing they're going to do is try to work with you on mapping out your market. And when Emil comes up and says, well, I only have two people who care about what I talk about in Trinidad. Business done. Business coach, run you out the office, right? There's no business to be made. So this is what digital allows you to do. But more importantly, what Emil said that I want people to really hone in on. Emil is in his 50s. Not slowing down. Emil in his 50s is learning how to do this and has been doing it and is adapting with the times. Because Curtis, how many times do we keep hearing people say, but what about the older crowd, or what about the over 50s, and how are they going to adapt? And I just keep on sitting here like, yo, listen, you go into other countries and people in their 50s, 60s, 70s are adapting. We have to get to that place where our over 50 crowd is adapting too.
Yeah,
it can't be an excuse. Not being tech savvy could no longer be excuse in the digital world that we are living, because now it's impacting your employment.
Yeah.
It's impacting your opportunities. And if you're going to sit here and say there's no opportunities locally, and never learn to upskill and tap into the opportunities outside the country, where are we gonna go as a country? Where are we gonna go?
Yeah.
If even a percentile started to upskill and started to package their knowledge. Like, I'm surprised we haven't seen somebody come up with some digital courses, go and work with Tribe or any one of the bands, you know, and start to say, hey, you guys are now traveling the world, or you guys are now attracting people from all over the world. Let me go and create a course on doubles. So right. That way, when you buy a package, a costume, we have some courses where you guys can come and learn about Trinidad culture from some of our best. You know, come and do a free writing session with Marshall as you buy your ticket. So there's so much use cases when you are thinking digitally.
Yeah.
And I think Emil, you're doing such a bang-up job. And again, we don't have enough people who are selling courses from TNT. But then I also think it's because we don't have enough examples of people doing it. So people think that it just can't be done.
Yeah.
So that being said, Emil, where can people go to find you and connect with you and learn more about you and what you do?
Yeah, you mean in terms of what, email address,
LinkedIn,
a website,
LinkedIn. Or website.
Okay.
Yeah, you can.
I think the best place to connect with me is LinkedIn. Just search for Emil Akbarali, and you know, you connect with me on LinkedIn, and I mean you can go on Udemy, and there are preview videos of my courses, not to sell you a course, but just to look at it and say, wait a minute, if this guy could speak like this and sound like he has sinus congestion, I could do it too, right? So you can do that as well, okay? So yeah, but LinkedIn is the best place. Just connect with me there.
Oh, that's powerful. Emil, thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to joining us. You know what? One last question before you go.
Mm-hmm.
As you have built a digital business, what has that digital business allowed you? What type of lifestyle has your digital business allowed you to have now that you are in your 50s?
The lifestyle that I want.
That's
so
great.
What does that look like?
Paint that picture
okay.
for us. What does that look
what
like?
What is very important to me as a core value is, after seeing many people work themselves to death in my father's generation, I value time flexibility. That's a huge thing for me.
That's great.
I am never in traffic, ever. Never, ever in traffic. Well, I don't like traffic. And what does my day look like? I have a routine where I will, if I'm not doing a new course, I can work for 3 hours a day and that's it. And mess around with the entire day. Now, there are other things I do. I'm reading, I'm educating myself and that sort of thing. But that is what I could do right now. It does the flexibility it gives me. Because you have these digital products working for you, and the cost of creating a new digital product, a new copy, is zero. So you don't have to get your raw materials and go again. It's like that. A lot of time flexibility. If my mom needs to go to the doctor, I could carry her. If she needs to go get scatter cushions and mold alive, I could go and carry her. Yeah, I could help my friends out anytime I want. So it's supreme flexibility. I have lots of friends who have to take that drive into Port of Spain every day. And I feel for them, because it really messes with your mind. And so much, and your entire nervous system. Yeah. So, I hope that answers your question in terms of what my life is like. Yeah,
it does, and I'm glad I asked, because, again, people are not accustomed to seeing these types of lifestyles, and the first thing many people think is, I'm too old to learn to start doing this thing. I've missed the boat, and I tell everybody, you have not, but as long as you're willing to dedicate some time to learning the space and seeing what type of opportunities, there is something for everybody to do. So thank you, Emil, for that. You know, go and enjoy. You might, I don't know if you're gonna go get some afternoon tea or take a little nap.
or some carrot pilsner might be in order. You never know, with a buddy or something. Yeah.
I love it. We'll definitely tap in and connect with you at a later date. Thank you for taking the time and joining us right here on Digital World.
Thank you for inviting me. Good to be here.
Blessings.
All right.
Bye-bye. Take care. Yeah. Well, Karen, it's just about 20 minutes after the hour of 2 o'clock, and I have a bit of information for the people. Don't forget Freedom Family from June the 1st to the 3rd at the Hyatt Regency. You don't want to miss the Trinidad and Tobago Disaster Management Conference. That's, of course, and it's an expo at the same time. Real stories, real experiences, live scenarios right on spot. If you want more information about this conference and expo, go to www.ttdrm.com. Because the only thing worse than a disaster is being unprepared for one. You want to be prepared, so check that out. And if you're just looking for somewhere to relax as well as you want to be able to give back, make sure and be a part of the Trinidad and Tobago Guardian Neediest Cases event that is coming up. And it is the Bingo Charity event. You want to have some fun? Come out on May 24th from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the Lions Cultural Center in Woodbrook. Come out and have a chance to play and win big. $10,000 is on the line and registration is just $200. And that includes 2 bingo cards and, of course, with additional cards and refreshments on sale. Get your tickets now. And, of course, you can get your tickets at the Dominican Book Center. And that's on St. Finbar's Church Grounds on Moncoco Road, 4 Roads, Diego Martin, or as well as you can get your tickets at Tattail Head Office on Maraval Road, right in Port of Spain. Or you can simply give them a call or WhatsApp 799-8550, or you can just give them a call for more information at 343-2218. It is the Bingo Charity Initiative. So make sure and come out and play, win, and support a great cause. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, of course, so much more in store for you as we keep you company all the way up till 3 p.m. Stick around.
Get the story first. Want to know what's happening in news, sports, or crime? Get the CNC3 app. As the story breaks, CNC3 is there giving you the story first on your mobile device. Be connected to the most trusted and reliable news source, CNC3. Access your world with just a tap. The CNC3 app. Download it today. When the issues matter, the conversation starts here. From politics to the economy, from social justice to national development, nothing is off the table. Weekdays, Monday to Friday, 6 to 9 a.m., Davey Marie brings you the Morning Rumble on Freedom 106.5 FM. Hard-hitting topics, informative, credible guests, experts who don't just talk, they break it down. If you want clarity, accountability, and real discussion on the issues shaping your day and your country, there's only one place to be. The Morning Rumble, weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. on Freedom 106.5 FM. Speak your mind. Go big, go digital, go everywhere with the Big Board Company. With 15 high-impact digital billboard locations across the country, the Big Board Company puts your brand where it belongs. Front and center with state-of-the-art LED screens in the most high-traffic areas across the country, you are guaranteed to be seen. Get flexible scheduling, real-time updates, and the most eye-catching and dynamic visuals. With free artwork from local businesses to national brands, we bring reach and visibility like nobody else does. 15 locations, endless possibilities. Advertise with the Big Board Company and get that Big Board impact. Call 723-9595. For more information. When the issues matter, the conversation starts here. From politics to the economy, from social justice to national development, nothing is off the table. Weekdays, Monday to Friday, 6 to 9 a.m., Davey Marie brings you the Morning Rumble on Freedom 106.5 FM. Hard-hitting topics, informative, credible guests, experts who don't just talk, they break it down. If you want clarity, accountability, and real discussion on the issues shaping your day and
your country, there's only one place to be. The Morning Rumble, weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. on Freedom 106.5 FM. Speak your mind.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.